I want to welcome you all. You know, I don't usually teach about things that I am not excited about. So I'm particularly excited about this because for a while now, it's been dawning on me that rather than teaching nonviolent communication per se, it's more accurate to say that I am teaching nonviolence through the lens of nonviolent communication. And so it's really sweet for me to be focused directly on that consciousness, on the underlying principles of nonviolence, and giving them form that is consistent at the same time with the deep consciousness of nonviolence and with the particular practices that nonviolent communication provides. So I'm really happy to do this. So I would like to ask you just briefly to say, what are the core values that you associate with nonviolence? Just really a quick dip into what are the core values that you associate with nonviolence without getting into specific practices of NVC per se, the underlying core values. We'll hear a few and see if we can get a cluster of what those values are. What are some of the values that you associate with nonviolence?
So what we discussed with my partner about the values we see about in NVC, and we came to these two. The first one was about connection and the power of connection in three directions. Direction one is connecting with me. Direction two is connecting with others. In direction three is connected with something greater than us. We can call it nature or cosmic power or whatever way we call it. And then the second value, kind of value that we came up with, was this inclusiveness of values that is built in MVC, and that's kind of very touching, that we value the values of all people that we met and that we connect with.
Thank you. So you're talking about connection and inclusiveness as two of the core values, and now you put them as the values of NVC. To me, NVC is one particular path to nonviolence, and I'm interested in what's the underlying thing that brings together NVC and nonviolent direct action, the work of Gandhi and Martin Luther King, all the things that fall under the category of nonviolence. So what else is there?
The thing for me is, it's like when I choose action, what am I taking into consideration when I choose action? When I come from a space of nonviolence, I could take into consideration only what matters to me and insist that I get my way. Or I could give up what matters to me and submit and just do it your way. And for me, the path of nonviolence is to neither submit and only do what matters to you, nor insist and do what only matters to me, but to try to somehow hold both of those at once and find a third way.
Thank you. So the way that I look at it is the going beyond either or.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone else, something entirely different? Because in the kind of a conceptual framework that I have about the core essence of nonviolence, these three, to my mind, fall into one part of it, which I put under the heading of love. So I'm wondering if anyone connects to something other than this or that aspect of love.
Well, I guess for me, just with the practice of NVC, what's a challenge is in conflict to try to dissolve enemy images.
So to me, that is another aspect of
yes.
Love, is to work to see the humanity of whoever I am engaged with, directly or indirectly, regardless of what they do. That, to me, captures a kind of essence of nonviolence that is intense and radical. Many people don't get there. even when their actions are not creating harm. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this in the recent past, that Gandhi talked about nonviolence being in thought, word, and action. And it occurred to me, and I'm still reflecting on it, and it keeps looking like that to me, that it is easier to be nonviolent in action than in word, and it is easier to be nonviolent in word than in thought. That it's really the transforming our thought structure and aligning it with nonviolence that is the hardest part of it all. The practice that you're talking about goes directly to that shifting of our inner thought structure that separates us from other people. Thank you. Do you have something else completely?
Yes, it would be effectiveness.
Okay, what do you mean by effectiveness?
That I have some confirmation that this is working, that it's creating some connection, that there's some openness and some ease, that somehow I'm able to use this in a way that it works or is helpful.
So if I am committed to nonviolence and I don't see the results, does that for you mean that I haven't been nonviolent?
Well, that's like if you're not in the woods when the tree falls, do you hear it? I'm just wondering, if I'm doing something that I have no idea it's working, what are the indications that it is helpful? Why would I do it?
It might not be helpful, but it might still be nonviolent.
So then what is the purpose of nonviolence?
Aha! That is the question, is nonviolence something that I'm doing to achieve specific results? And then if those results are not happening, then I'm going to throw out the nonviolence. Or is nonviolence something that I'm committing to regardless of the results? I want to put this bit of conversation on hold because next week we have a guest speaker, and this is key to the kinds of things that he will be addressing when he is with us. So I'd like to come back to this question next week. Are you okay to put it on hold for a week?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Something else?
Yeah, for me, at the core is my aliveness and your aliveness and my vitality, your vitality, which is an expression, again, of love.
So there's many, many versions and branches within that big part of the trunk that is the love aspect of it. I am wondering if anyone has something that is not about love, about something completely different, not another manifestation of love, because I want to get someplace else.
Just the respect and reverence for life and allowing life to coexist as is.
So I still think this is, it's respect is within the category of holding care and love for everyone. There's entirely different branches to this tree. I'm happy to say them, but for as long as there are hands up, I will keep hearing people.
Something around courage and fearlessness?
Yes, exactly. And it's fascinating to me how often, particularly NVC people, skip over that part. It's one of the things that to me sometimes trouble me about calling NVC compassionate communication, because compassion is under the part of nonviolence that has to do with love, and it doesn't include the piece about courage and fearlessness, the willingness to endure consequences for our choices and values, even unpleasant consequences, and still remain true to our commitment to love and to whatever else we're committed to. Thank you. And one more piece for me that is crucial. Let's see.
It's probably a similar branch. The two things that came up for me was self-responsibility and choice.
It falls within that. It's the kind of courage that comes from deep self-groundedness in all of the values that come together, that whatever anybody can do to me, they cannot take that away from me. So therefore, I can always choose.
I was thinking about a commitment to truth, and maybe that would be under one of the other categories too, but that's what...
For me, that is the third one in the way that I see it. I'm not making claims for this is the right or only way to see nonviolence. For me, that is the third kind of like leg of the stool. Love, courage, and truth. And truth is not about objective truth, because who knows what that is. It's about knowing the truth that lives in me and saying it. So again, when I map it back to the practice of NVC, it is about the willingness to fully and authentically express what is in me in a loving and courageous way. So it's not like each of them is separate. They're interrelated. Thank you. Thank you. So that is one way of looking at the essence of nonviolence. And then, of course, there are many different values and practices and all of that. And that is what I have been trying to capture in the list of commitments that I came up with. However, before we get into that, I want to get focused today particularly on the question of why do we want to make a commitment and what does it mean to commit? Because when we talk about living a nonviolent life, it's a form of living a values-driven life, meaning that I have a certain set of values, whatever they are, that I want to commit to, that I want to lead and guide my choices, my actions, everything that I do. I think we all know perfectly well that this is not how society is mostly structured, the society that we are, the multiple societies that we live in a variety of countries. More and more, especially in recent decades, the main direction where things are going is not aligned with the values of nonviolence. And therefore, it means that if I'm going to live nonviolently, I am in some ways going against the grain. In some ways, I am doing something that is not supported by the culture around me. In order to be able to do that, I need something that will sustain me. This, for me, is where commitment comes in. So the next part of the conversation that I want to have with you is, what is the value for you of having a commitment? Why do you want to have commitments? How does that support you? And at the same time, what is the challenge of having commitments? Where does it get hard to keep them? It's almost like they support us in staying the course with our values, and they can also present challenges in many moments of choice. So I'd like to hear from you anything that comes up for you about where commitments support you and where it's hard to maintain them and they might be a hindrance.
I learned something many years ago, and it basically had kind of a fun title. The title is 99% is a bitch. And the dialogue is that when you're 100% committed, it makes all your decisions more easy because you know there's no open back door. And I have to say, once I heard that, something massive shifted in my brain and everything became easy for me. So it actually has become really simple. You have a commitment to go to bed early, and someone says, "Ooh, do you want to go out and have a glass of wine?" And it's simple. It's like a no. So there's no discussion and there's no inner dress. I just found it magnificent.
So one way that commitments can support you is in a certain way by creating ease. You don't have to decide each moment freshly. There's some way that you've already made a decision and it carries you through a long period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just been lovely for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? How do commitments support you, and are there ways in which you experience them as a hindrance?
I realize that commitments support me when I'm in the midst of a storm and I have choice as to how I want to proceed through the storm? Do I want to be scared? Do I want to be vulnerable? Do I want to be calm? Do I want to be strong? So it supports me through the rough times and the easy times.
Yes, it provides a compass, a guideline, something that remains solid when other things are shaky. Anything else about how commitments can support us and or where they become a hindrance?
Well, if I were able to make one, I'm imagining it would support me. But there is a part of me that goes into a panic at the thought that I might be trapped in a commitment. I think I don't need to go into the assumptions hidden in there.
Maybe you don't, but maybe it might help other people.
Okay. I think one of them is the cultural should. If I give my word, then I must follow through. And if not, there's shame behind that.
Thank you. One of the key questions that guided me when I created the commitments that we will get into more as the weeks go by is the question of how can we have commitments? How can we commit to something without falling into that trap? What does it mean? Because, you know, the easy quote-unquote way to not fall into the trap is to sort of pretend like we're making a commitment but actually not making it. And then, you know, in the moment, it's just like, oh, well, it's not easy right now, so I won't do it because I don't want to get into a should about it, right? I obviously shouldn't get into a should about it. And then we don't really have the commitment, and then we didn't really accomplish the purpose. So this was one of the main reasons why I changed the language from I commit to I want to, because then that language reminds me of the intention that I had, which was not to put myself in prison. It was an intention to give myself guidance and direction. And for those who may have read the materials that I created, I think of it in terms of an arc. That when I make a commitment, and it's similar to what somebody says earlier, it guides me through a long period of time. But in a certain moment, when there's something very compelling in that moment, such as, you know, the invitation to go out and have a glass of wine, or it can be the temptation to yell at someone and call them names when we are upset, it could be any number of things in the moment. It can feel so compelling that the big, long arc of the commitment may be very invisible. So for me, true freedom, true choice, is being able truly to weigh the moment and the long commitment so that I'm neither a slave nor am I ignoring the commitment. So I'm seeing that this is about developing a relationship with the commitments that is similar to what Jason said. I'm not submitting to the commitment. I'm not rebelling against it. I am holding it with a great deal of honoring because it's something that I have accepted and adopted as a way to guide my life. I want to give it a lot of weight, and still I want to be open to the moment and see where I land in the end.
I guess I was going to echo that when I look at the commitments and when I first read them, when you'd written them some years ago. I just saw it as an incredible invitation. It gave me signposts to things that I would not have articulated or named but resonated past my way of thinking. It was a pull on something inside my heart. And that journey to it, for me, is one of a kind of deep, compassionate, careful treading towards. Every time I can remind myself that they're there, it's where I want to move to. And the other part where commitment comes in for me, which I've never really framed it as a commitment, but I recognize the part of me that said yes to Jason when he asked me to marry him was a truly wise part of me, because I know in the saying yes, it has absolutely held me at times when I felt intensely vulnerable and intensely the patterns of wanting to pull away. So I can have been rife at those moments, and it's because I've already said yes, and I said it from that very deep internal space that it told me. So I think when it comes from that deep internal space that everything is on board, everything inside me is on board with it, and I can walk towards it, and it holds me. And when it's a kind of invitation, I'm being drawn to it all the time. It's a very rich place for me.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it speaks to what I was trying to get at before about honoring a commitment because of the care that went into putting it in place. We don't take on a commitment lightly. It's not a decision that, oh, let me try it on. It's something that we put a great deal of care and thought and love and courage into. Choosing a commitment of any kind, whether it's marriage or a vow of celibacy or commitment to eat a certain way or a commitment to courage, whatever it is, that we honor the part in us where that came from because it came with a lot of care. So we don't hold it lightly while at the same time recognizing it as a pointer rather than pretending that we might already be there. Thank you. I want to name one more piece about this, which is, what do we really mean by freedom? And a lot of times, unconsciously, implicitly, we buy into the present modern notions of what freedom means, which is the being unencumbered, having no one telling me what to do, having the freedom to choose every moment what I want to do and just do it. That is the kind of like the quintessential idea of what freedom means these days. And I want to invite into the conversation, into our understanding of freedom, into why I think that commitments and wrestling with commitments enhances our freedom, is one is the thing that I just talked about, is the freedom to follow what we want on the deepest level without being swayed by the moment. And related to it is the freedom to choose in full, to overcome fear, habit, impulse, judge, rebellion, any of those things, to be able to really choose. This is, to me, the essence of all that commitments can bring to us. And so now I want to look at, first of all, just open it up to see if there are any specific or non-specific questions or comments in the moment that anybody would like to bring up.
Can you go back to the freedom piece? I know I don't hold it as how you were describing society does, yet I'm not totally clear on what you were saying.
What I'm saying is when I do something, for example, because of fear or habit or impulse, I'm not actually free. I may feel like, you know, like, okay, that's really the thing to do, but am I really freely choosing? That's my question.
Thank you.
Yeah, and for me, being able to really choose is exhilarating liberation. Thank you.
I really love how freedom, for me, now that I understand like the essence supporting nonviolence, it evolves because of the structure, the network of truth, love, and courage. We're guided by that inner compass. And then, like you said, freedom happens and that choice is exhilarating.
Thank you.
That place of choice for me includes the capacity or quality to be able to deeply listen, because my choices, whatever choices are available to me as I cultivate a quality of being able to really inwardly listen to those aspects
of
me, that's what helps.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this forward, because it kind of relates to, I don't know how to fully choose without slowing down a little bit so that deep listening can happen. Thank you. So for the last part of today's class and for a little bit of practice, I want to do a little bit of exploration first with one person who is willing to do it, and then for all of you in pairs, of a moment where you are not managing to live up to the commitment, to a commitment that you have in terms of how you want to show up in the world, where there is struggle and how you can walk your way through the struggle. So that would mean kind of like going back to a moment in which your action didn't line up with your values. And we will look together at what are the values that you were trying to live in that moment and what might have happened internally, what needs of yours, if we're going to use the NVC perspective, interfered with your ability to line up with the values. And for me, the benefit of doing this kind of practice has several aspects to it. One is that I get to know myself and my obstacles better. I can bring more tenderness to my choices and therefore, paradoxically, more reliably choose to align myself with my values. And second, that I may discover additional values that were pulling me in a different direction and add them consciously to the list of values that I'm trying to live. And then it becomes a balancing act rather than a fight. So, is there anyone who has a moment in which you didn't manage to live up to your values and you're willing to explore it with us this moment?
My occasion, I have two grandchildren, and we were going someplace in the car, and they both wanted to sit in the front seat. I only have one front seat. So the boy has a leg brace, and so the back seat's uncomfortable because of the leg brace. And the girl is very, very tall, so the back seat is uncomfortable for the girl. And they began to argue and push at each other. And I basically froze. I didn't know what to do. And I chose the boy to sit in the front seat and required that they both apologize to each other. And afterwards, I just felt terrible because none of that was, it was not who I want to be in a situation like that. My value, I wanted fairness.
That's not how you wanted to show up. There's something about
absolutely
how you wanted to
show up. Not.
So what, if you just slow down for a moment and connect with your heart, what quality of being human would you want to bring to bear into this very difficult conversation?
Understanding everyone to be understood and heard.
Okay, so you wanted to bring a quality of understanding. So if we are, you know, bringing it back to the consciousness of nonviolence that we're trying to kind of like articulate, it falls in the love category. And then that's not how you showed up. Do you know what prevented you from slowing down and focusing on understanding everyone?
Time. I felt like we had to get in the car that moment.
Let me break some news to you. Time is never the reason why we do or don't do something, except when, you know, like life is at stake. And even then, it's not time. It is something in particular that we want to prioritize. It really helps because when I say it's because of time, I'm giving away my power.
That's right. I felt that.
Okay. So come back and think about what was important to you. I think you said fairness. And what was important about getting into the car right then? What was important about that?
You know, looking back on it, I don't know why I felt so rushed. I don't know.
So that's absolutely key to understand. So I suggest that you slow down and breathe because it's the way that you gave your power away in that moment that prevented you from being able to choose what you wanted. So there's something really important that was going on for you in that moment. Important enough to overcome a core value of yours of acting with the intention to understand and care about everyone. That's what I hear also behind the idea of fairness, right?
Yes.
So if you are not finding it yourself, and also to model what will happen in the small groups, let's see if anyone has any guess as to what was so compelling about entering into the car right then. What could it have been? Does anybody have a guess?
When I feel like I am unable to react in a moment with my own children, it's usually because my priority is that I feel that I've made a commitment to someone to be somewhere at a particular time. And so I feel like I need to move things along so that we can get to that place at that time. And I'm choosing that commitment to be somewhere at some time over maybe having a more connected conversation with my children.
Okay, thank you. Let's check first, does this ring true?
Yes, we were going to an appointment. I guess I didn't realize I was choosing that, but that's what I was choosing.
Thank you. Let's slow down for 1 second, because this is the moment where you start gaining the freedom, when you realize that you were choosing. Because when you realize that you were choosing, the possibility of a different choice is there. So you were choosing to honor this appointment. Is that because of some care for the person that you had the appointment with?
Well, that wasn't a free choice. That was just a duty to be on time.
Be on time for something that you...
It was not even close to being as important as my grandchildren. I just, at that moment in time...
Yeah, so you're discovering that...
Yes.
You know, when you do this exploration, it can go in at least 2 directions. One is that you discover, oh, I have this habitual compulsion to be somewhere on time that I don't even reflect on. I want to start reflecting on it in the moment so I can really choose. That's one path that it could go. Or it could go through a different path. Let's say you said, yes, this was, you know, my person so-and-so, and it was very important for me that that person trust that they are cared about. So that would be expanding the circle of care or adding a new value to the equation. So then the question is, what do I do to care about my grandchildren and about this person and about myself? You expand the circle of care. You expand the values that you're holding. So you either bring choice by realizing that it wasn't really important, it was only habitual or impulsive or based on fear, or it was important and then it gets added to the equation that you're trying to solve. And then the last step is, in this moment, knowing what you know now, what would you wish you had done in that moment? What do you still imagine?
I would have felt better about who I was if I'd said that. If I'd said, kids, we have a 1 o'clock appointment, and I want us to honor that commitment. How can we work this out? And let the kids hear that. Because what I didn't like about the way I showed up is that I took control, because that's what I'm used to doing. And they're old enough. We're talking teenagers. They're way in the place where they could have, if I'd helped them, see that I think possibly, I don't know.
You don't know, but you know what you would want to do. You don't know the outcome, but you know what you want to do that is aligned with the deeper truth of you.
Yes. Expanding the circle of care.
So this is what I would like you to do now in pairs. To take one situation or 2 situations, if you have enough time, in which you had a bit of a struggle where there's a clear value and there's a clear choice of action that doesn't line up with the value, and really get support from yourself and the person that you're with to get to the bottom of this, understand what the obstacle was, and is it something to incorporate or something to let go of? This is the exploration. All right. So I suggest we do this for 15 minutes, so you have a real opportunity to grow deeply and the possibility of doing both, which you may or may not see then. And we'll be back here in 15 minutes. Welcome back. I would like in the remaining time to hear a little bit from you about what you discovered doing this, if you have any questions. So, is anybody wishing to share?
What came up for me when I was sharing my story was when I was deeply enraged by my ex-wife, I turned around and I walked out of the house because I knew that if I opened my mouth, the most hateful things were going to come out of it. And she followed after me and she said, it's okay, we can talk about it, we can talk about it. And so I turned around and the most hateful things came out of my mouth. And I guess the thing that I was connected to and the quality that I wanted to bring that I didn't bring, the only thing I got close to was self-responsibility in just how I deal with my pain and responsibility for how I protect myself, protect the relationship. And I'm just wondering if I'm missing something or if I'm deluding myself.
I would have to hear a little more detail to be able to answer your question. The question that I have for you is, discovering what you discovered, did it expand your sense of choice?
No.
Then you didn't get to the bottom. The proof is in some pudding. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
You're not liking this.
Of course I'm not liking you.
Can we leave it here? I think you know enough about what to do, right?
I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being playfully dramatic.
Hi, Mickey. I've had this dilemma for some time that I really value having some quiet time in the mornings and the peace and self-connection that I get through meditation and contemplation. And I find that when I'm here in California, I stay up late at night, either on the internet or chatting with friends or someone on Facebook, and I don't seem to be able to maintain this rhythm that is so important to me that and that I'm committed to of getting up in the morning. And what I connected with that was really very helpful for me was that in India, when I get up in the morning and I have this time, I'm in community. Mm-hmm. And I meet that need for self-connection, and I also experience support and community at the same time. Yeah. And here what I'm getting is that when I do that in the morning, I have one thing, and in the evening I have the other piece. That was really a huge aha for me. So the question that you were just asking, that does this support me or give me a sense of inner expansion around what this is about or how to navigate this? Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad that that was helpful. So now I want to take a couple of minutes to talk with you about the vision that I have for this course, because this is such a deep and complex journey. The deep commitment that we're talking about cannot be done alone. Requires community, requires participation, requires support. This is why we are inviting people to set up empathy buddies to be of support to each other as you go through this project of aligning your life more and more with the way you want it to be. The other thing, next week we are going to start talking about the commitments themselves. And I am wondering if there are a couple of people who are willing to take on one commitment and do a brief presentation about how that commitment serves as an inspiration for you and be prepared to do that next week. It would be ideal if it's people who are already familiar with the commitments. Thank you. That completes what I was looking for in terms of volunteers. And for the remainder of the time, I would like to hear from just a few people in brief what you received from our time today. it is really meaningful to me to hear from people, to know what the essence is of what registered with you, what was a gift or a contribution to you, what you got from today's class.
A real sense of community and intimacy with people all over the world.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
I am strongly aware now of how I have multiple commitments that I have not put words to. That's given me something to explore as I come into moments where I'm not arriving the way I wish to arrive.
Yeah.
I realize it's that conflict.
Wonderful to have this awareness. Thank you.
Some sense of hope and mostly stop being afraid of commitment, of that commitment, that it is something that's so longing inside me that I guess it's that 100% of it is, yeah, it is easy.
In the last little exercise, I worked on something that I've been working on for years, which is trying to have a 10 o'clock bedtime, and I had a visceral experience of the thought of being yanked out of connection and engagement with life when the thought comes, oh, I need to go to bed. I got that moment viscerally, how painful it is for that one.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much to everyone. I really enjoyed the, you know, creating the foundation, and I look forward to our journey over time. Bye-bye.